be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, if anybody needs cough drops, raise your hand, because we do have cough drops up here. We have them, so if you need them, we can give them out. Today's focus, or a summary, is the idea, do we have a willingness, and we are to have a willingness, an awareness, to be aware. We are to be willing to trust in God. We are to be willing and wanting to love Him above all else. We are to be willing to be able to give of ourselves in all ways to the point of self-sacrificing. And that sounds kind of risky and maybe a little bit scary. And sometimes it might be, but we don't have to, and we learn that from the Old Testament lesson today. Elijah was prophesying and actually being obedient himself to what God wanted him to do. And so he went to Sidon, to Zarephath, and he met the widow. And when he came to the gate, and if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the gate. And what's the gate? That's the area where the poor or the needy or the destitute kind of hang out because they would like to get help from the passersby. And the passersby, out of their generosity and religious obligations in their own hearts and minds, would do that. They would donate to those people in need at the gate. So here we have the widow of Zarephath at the gate, collecting up her sticks. And Elijah goes there and he says, okay, well, bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. And she does. She goes. But then he says, and also, by the way, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, that may sound like, what the heck is wrong with Elijah? And he's not paying attention to her need. But that's not the point just yet. The point is, Elijah is obeying God, and the widow, as we find out, obeys God, and then we hear the rest of the story in just a little bit. So she tells Elijah at first, the prophet, she says, well, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked yet. She hadn't been, you know, to her kitchen. It's not ready, and I only have a handful of meal and a little oil in my jug. And that's it. That's all I have right now. And actually, she says, I was going home. I was going to prepare a little something for me and my son, and we were going to die. That's how scared and poor and destitute that widow was. And what does Elijah say to her? He says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid and go and do as you have said, but first, eat that little cake and bring it to me. And then afterwards, go take care of yourself and your son. So this is a real lesson of learning. When we're at our work, we're to go beyond our needs and pay attention to the needs of others who are in worse need, more desperate situations than maybe we are. And we don't see it at first because we're thinking a little bit more about ourselves. So then he says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be empty, the jug of the oil will not fail. And so she does what God had told her to do to help the prophet. She does as Elijah had told her to do, and what happens? Everyone got fed in her entire household for days and days and days, and God kept his promise of abundance and protection and love and care, and the jar of meal was not empty, and the jug of oil did not fail her. That beyond our own self. That's self-sacrificing, truly self-sacrificing. And we know that Jesus was self-sacrificing himself. We know that he died. He was crucified, but he was risen for us and for our sins. So anyway, then we're going to go to the other widow. Jesus was teaching, and we know that teaching, the usual position for teaching is sitting. So Jesus gets there, and he tells them as he's sitting, he says, "Beware of the scribes." Why? Well, the scribes were more interested in themselves than in God or others. The scribes were more interested in having fine clothes and expensive clothes. And that was their main focus. That doesn't mean that if we have nice clothes, we're awful. It just means that was their only focus. The scribes were interested in calling attention to themselves. Look at me, I'm special. Rather than trying to draw the attention to the needy, to the poor, the downtrodden. And then we know that they want the best. They want the honor, the place of honor at banquets, the best seats in the synagogues. I still think sometimes it's subliminal, but I think that's why some people sit in the back, you know, of the church, in all churches. They don't want to come up forward because they think, oh no, I don't want to get the best seat. And that's okay, whether you sit in the back or the front, it's all right. But then we learn more about the scribes. Jesus says they devour the widows' houses. And for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They devour the widows' houses. Well, the scribes were highly educated in law, and they were highly educated in scripture, in the Torah. But they used it destructively. They used their education in law and scripture to abuse, to exploit, and to oppress those in need, those who needed their help. They had no compassion, concern, or care for justice for the poor. And he was warning his disciples, don't be the same. And then their prayers. Well, praying, having long prayers, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're praying to get attention, once again, to have people, you know, like, look at me, I'm praying. Look at me, I'm so wonderful. I'm holy, I'm praying. That does not impress God. They were not praying to draw attention or to ask God for his will and way to help the needy. They were praying long prayers to get attention. So then what happens? Well, he sits down opposite of the treasury. And he watched the crowd putting money in the treasury. Now the rich would come in with these big, heavy gold coins. And they would clonk lots of them. They were heavy. So when the rich would come by, boy, you could hear all that they were giving. And they would throw to death because, it, once again, the scribes were interested in getting attention. Now what happens next? Many of the rich put in large sums. Did that impress Jesus? No, because their motivation wasn't because of the love of God. Their motivation wasn't to help the poor and the needy. It was to look important and impressive. But then a poor widow comes along, and she puts in two little small copper coins. You probably couldn't even hear that being dropped into the plate. It was not noticeable. She was not noticeable. Except for Jesus had them to sit and wanted them to stop and pay attention to what was really happening. He wanted them to be aware of the good and the destructive or the healer. He wanted them to pay attention to what the widow was doing. Very, very impressive. Because the rich, the scribes, were giving out of their abundance. When they went home, it didn't matter to them. They hadn't lost anything. They had enough, or more than enough, to get through the day or the next year. But this widow, she gave her all. She gave her all. That is having sacrificial giving and loving God so much and trusting God in Him so much to continue to protect and defend and love. So what He was trying to teach the disciples that day is rich or poor. How we give is most important. Why we give is most important. We do everything in our lives because we love God above all else. We give cheerfully, never, never looking down on someone else's gift, never judging someone else's gift, and only giving to God because we love Him. So we know that the two widows were self-sacrificing. We know that Jesus Christ was self-sacrificing. For me, these lessons are all about asking me and each and every one of us, do we love God like these widows? Are we obedient to God the Father like Jesus is? Do we love others, especially the needy? Are we generous with our actions, with our words, with our possessions, with our love and care for others? Do we go beyond ourselves and our needs and are truly self-sacrificing? When we pray, do we pray to learn God's will and ways? Do we pray because we want to really serve Him as our God deserves? And then we ask ourselves, if we give all that we have and all who we are, do we trust in Him enough? Do we have faith in Him enough to do that? And have peace and keep going about our love and Jesus' ministry each and every day. What I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is end with the thought of Kala, because I thought it was absolutely beautiful. Oh God, blessed Son, into the world, that He might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life. Grant that, having this hope, we may purify ourselves as He is pure, that when He comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like Him in His eternal and glorious kingdom, where He lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.